Bienvenidos al Odalis Show on August 9, 2020. Recording this one a few days after the published date in order to get it in English. Anyway, heretofore, the president of the United States is not to blame for the failings of humanity. So to do so is passing the blame, which is one of humanity's major faults, when it has them. Say what one will about the president's decisions, the current president's decisions, but he gets more flack from both sides of the two main corporate shill parties than any president I've ever seen. That kind of antagonism of the oligarchy is rare among elected officials. In fact, that's why a secularist, non-career politician, business person was elected. It was a protest vote, protesting ruling class establishment. Rapidly ticketed, as it were, through the GOP, which is where upstart candidates typically come from. And it's why the GOP tends to be fractured, historically. Never mind what's going on today on either side of the corporate shill. But it was a protest against the ruling class establishment of the foreign domestic two-party policies that led to the myriad disasters inherited by the current administration, and as has been the case in terms of inheritance for as long as I've been around. Eventually, exponentially bad policy, foreign and domestic, leads to hot wars inside the United States, like what we have now. There is fire and parts of cities burning. And violence between paramilitary forces and civilians. Now schools have been closed for a half year, and the economy is arguably unrecoverable in any recognizable form due to something, if the origin story can be believed, that originated on some other continent. The confluence of dialogue in the marketplace of ideas being extremely forensically suspect as to origins, reasons, and think about who benefits from what's occurring. Probably people have been unemployed since 2008. You know, people whose would have been incumbency as proletarian lower middle class American workers having nowhere to go because it's all been offshored by capitalist interests, international capitalist interests, which occupy Washington, D.C. Maybe it's due cause to simply write off the national debt and start over, however, now. Hey, whoops. Bink. Like Kramer said, just, you write it off. Well, no time like the present, forget it, because you're not going to pay back however many trillions it is. What was it, in the billions during Reagan? Now it's in the, it's exponentially larger than that, in the trillions, you know. It's, you know, it's a redheaded stepchild piggy bank for whatever, you know, capitalist occupants happen to be criminally squatting in, you know, in Washington, D.C. at the time. You can quit doing that and financing wars with it. They know it's not to be paid back. The dollar is the official international currency anyway. So why not just write it off? Who's to say? And no better time like the auspicious present to do so. Maybe the empire has overextended itself, fallen, and we're lucky it didn't involve mushroom clouds, in my opinion. So Los Americanos need to catch the next train home from their foreign battlefields, put out the fires, go back to school, and live and let live, and rebuild. This is not the Death Star anyway, it's the planet Earth, and it's our home. Regarding domestic policy in particular, the president, current president, has taken a philosophically limited conservative approach, as promised during his campaign, symbolized by his selection of vice president whose constituency has, as promised and as I discussed in 2016, walked the domestic social policy back to the Stone Age in the interest of minority special interests who appear to be a populist movement, but they're not. and they use the media and special interest money to make it seem like there is some sort of majority and they're not the religious right in the United States. As noted in 2016, the unfortunate capitulation to the domestic platform of this faction, and it is a relatively small, a very small faction, was financially necessary because of the bound and incorrectly restrained currency and disproportionate distribution of wealth for the president to win the election. He had to do that to get that ticket. The compromise has accommodated social policy rollbacks during this administration that are a manifestation of individual special interest trends and their marketing footprint and their control over national policy. Some of the more harmful or regressive of which amounts to encroachment of ecumenical jurisprudence, as I said before. But that was 4 years ago, and this is now. And the president owes us on this measure, and he knows it. Amounting to actual voter leverage, which is a rare thing here. You don't usually get to have a vote that's so close to the mark now that those debts have been paid, as it were. The special interests movement masquerading in the media as a populist movement for aggressive domestic policies rooted in the same sort of apocalyptic vision as the bad foreign policy of the United States. It is time for America's involvement in perennial hot wars. It's no longer cold proxy. It's just now burning. Has been, of course, for a couple decades in the current iteration in the Mideast. To conclude, it's not in the best interest of the United States or the global West or North America, especially now with a third of the United States gross domestic product having been brutally amputated in the past one or two quarters. In addition to obvious troubles of meddlesome, non-libertarian, taxpayer-funded overseas military occupations overplaying the American share of influence, obviously weakens our domestic function. Foreign or international economic interests have overextended the United States in a real sense, an obvious sense, you know, clearly, and the domestic situation is completely unrecognizable with respect to what it's supposed to look like. The Bill of Rights is decimated, somehow having been replaced by a legal fiction that people have a right not to be offended, which is wrong. The truth hurts. Facts are difficult. In a halcyon days, you know, yeah, nothing hurts and everything's cool. But that's not how you run a country. It's not how you run a real, it's not how you run any organization, and it's not how you teach or learn or deal objectively with reality as it stands, not as you wish it were. When I do substance abuse recovery services and volunteer work, people are suffering when they stop taking whatever it was that had put them on the moon and taken away their senses and their ability to feel the pain. And I have to say to these people, like, I know it's tough, but that's good news. That means you're alive. If you didn't feel that pain, that's what people who are alive feel. That's how you know something's wrong and that there needs to be something fixed. That's good news. It means you're alive and you're recovering. Anyway, same goes for any body politic, whether it's a person or a community or, you know, any group. Things were already tenuous 6 months ago, right, obviously. In a sense, this manufactured crisis is causing a break-thrown, harder look at what for long, long decades has led up to this critical point that demonstrates the intractability of policies that should have been obviously changed long ago. Anyway, so I say 6 months ago, okay, they were already tenuous, yeah. That's obvious. But now, public gatherings are not permitted. Theaters and arenas are shuttered. Gyms are mothballed. Community youth activities are shuttered. Small businesses are folding permanently. Like, and it's cool for everybody who is on the dope of just, wow, let's sit around and watch dystopian sci-fi and not go outside and play video games. It doesn't matter. We don't have to go to school. Nothing. I mean, that's a kind of addiction, and that's a kind of separating yourself from the consequences of the world, or your nation, or your community, or the things that you are supposed to be self-governing, not working right. And you can't just closet yourself and sit around and play video games and order groceries all day. Or whatever. You know, and for, who cares? No more football. Or, I mean, like, I like NHL. I had no idea the Stars were in the playoffs, you know. And, I mean, I didn't know. Where's Marty Turco? That's how long it's been for me. So, but, you know, people want to go to the other Death Star, you know, in Arlington or wherever. You know, if they like NBA, whatever, they should be able to go. They should be able to go to the park. Like, I'm not going to go down to the 4th of July celebration in the mud and, are you kidding me, nowhere to park. It's just murder. But if people want to go do that, they're perfectly welcome to. You know, can't go do it. You know, you got to wear a tit on your head. Anyway, the surveillance thing, I could go on with that, as you might know, for 100,000 years. So I'll just move to the next sentence. The surveillance state, yeah, I'm scripting these. The surveillance state is in its full comeuppance, statutorily and politically. These are the spoils of war. Aren't we proud of them? The schools are closed. The media outlets are corporate-owned monopolies accepting unfunded and net-squeezed independence. We are effectively under martial law, which is necessary to sustain an empire. The concepts like this, when the concepts of a warrant or expectations of privacy are but quaint, naive concepts now, not with the digital age. Look back. Superimpose the digital age on the Bill of Rights. If it's. And when you're corrected and brought to justice, don't squeal that it's okay now in the digital age, because that's going to happen. There must be a correction if we want to live freely. And you can't get away from that surveillance state if you are in perpetual war, because that's intel. That's how it works. You can't be waging war and not know every quirk and electron of everybody's every thought. You can't, because that's how wars are lost, through information, because information is power. So if you want to be free, stop warring. And if you want no violence and unrest at home, stop introducing it overseas. You're like it's like the guy, you know, whatever, dumping motor oil in the lot next door. Like, what? Don't you see? You know, all the oceans are connected. It's not that big. What did Carl Sagan play? It's like one speck in billions. And I mean, we're all here. You're pooping up our only diaper, and we have only so much time. So you need to be more economical with your killing and your littering, you scumbags. And they're not even the minority. They need to be removed from Washington, D.C., and wherever else they all are. Just as any technology professional of the millennial generation will tell you, the concepts of a warrant or expectations of privacy are antiquated old guy things to argue about that are not binding, realistic in the modern landscape, whatever. Dissenting speech, that's the thing about politics. The youth, the young generations, are relatively politically unaware and unwise. They're easy to steal from politically and spirit away Pied Piper style. Dissenting speech is squeezed by the corporate monopoly of internet providers or intercepted and retaliated against by hostile factions. Never mind the formidable eyes and ears of international organized crime, which they're looking. Of course they are, and they're armed with technology. Cutting edge. Every click or keystroke of everybody is recorded by the surveillance state or states whose extraordinary pre-crime profiling, whether it's for marketing or for, you know, whatever, public or private, do away with due process, they do. When their infrastructure fails in cities with bigger economies than many rich nations, local electors should be part of the national brain trust and have some semblance of what wherewithal, instead of placing blame on D.C., which in turn must turn around and remind them that these charlatans of their own sovereignty in a self-governing society can't have it both ways, and you don't want it both ways. You know? And you can, because this is what was, could, America. But and take care of it yourself to the extent you can.
Well, you come in and protect. They're burning your buildings because they're federal buildings. You come protect that. Well, now we don't. I can't believe it.
I mean, it's just like, where were these people? I mean, how did they? I guess you just, it's kind of happened here in Arizona. You got some. The Arizona Corporation Commission has some problems politically. But people bop over from California and run and get elected. And then it turns out they're working for a power company, you know? It's like, it's real, it's like very, I mean, it, you know, it's, you know, you don't have to go back 20 generations to be the Arizona Manchurian candidate. You just have to kind of stroll in and get on the ballot. So, anyway, I guess that's how people get to be the mayor of wherever, you know. Anyway, cities are burning many blacks and whites, or men and women, or gays and straights, or, you know, poets and scientists, neighbors and neighbors, have gone to war out of sheer confusion. You know, deciding what children are not and are beyond providence. You know, based on their demographic. And then that gets enforced in the public schools. The children then are confused about the virtues of peace, love, and understanding. And just like inside of prisons, people have reverted to only interacting with their own, within their own ethnicities or other like factions. This is the state of the art in the United States today. The southwestern border has to be held militarily, if at all. And yet the demand for cocaine and other things coming across it is higher than it's ever been. Why not? But nothing else will do. Criminals, and you either have money or you don't. Not like you, you know, it's not a merit-based economy, really. I mean, to some extent it kind of is. You know, criminal syndicates, you know, we'll talk about that in another show. The criminal syndicates proceed with their billion or trillion dollar business and wait patiently for Providence to yield further market share, which it will, and which they'll get if we as a nation continue to, as we have been, to concede the ethical high ground and continue dumping our commonwealth into foreign wars and administrating domestic policy like fascists, you know, cave dwellers, terrified maniacs, mob rule, racketeers, bullies, you know, with no shred of civil liberty while keeping the schools closed and encumbering due process and individual liberty and peaceful dialogue. And yet, law-abiding American gun owners, okay, I'm going to pick this battle, right, whatever, bring it up, it's in there, are of more interest to corporate partisans and the pandering that they're doing for their nonsense platforms and the corporate media than the rampant drug trafficking and drug wars. Why? Because there's way more money in cocaine than there is, I guess there's also money in disarming the proletariat. Seems to be making it, would make it even easier for them to do what they're doing. Any capitalist knows that there's way more money in cocaine just off the bat. It's a special interest and an international interest, but it's worth trillions of dollars. And it's how a lot of poor communities fund themselves, not just south of the border, but in the United States, which is, you know, why it's difficult to take the, you know, the food out of the mouth of the local, whoever it is in charge, you know. I have a lot of pull at the local and national policy level, the cocaine, international sex and narcotics trafficking. That's why the former subject gets more lip service in national debates, while sex and narcotics trafficking runs almost completely unchecked in the mainstream political conversation. In summary, Washington, D.C. is complicit hypocritically, despite their war on drugs, as are often local governments also forced to play ball. Meanwhile, the unemployment with it yet turn their head really the other way when the rubber meets the road. Unless it means that it's a part of town that you want to occupy militarily or a faction where you're going to enforce it. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate that began to spike in its modern pump, modern in its current spike, which is still going and has been doubled down. Anyway, the unemployment rate that began to spike in 2008 at the conclusion of that presidential administration's troubled assets relief program bailout, where a bunch of rich criminal corporations were bailed out for doing illegal things, bailed out with taxpayer money instead of being prosecuted. Though that data has been ignored and underreported, those numbers have never recovered, and now, of course, they're much worse. Yet the catastrophically expensive foreign wars have persisted, even though they 8 years while the businessman from Chicago was in the Oval Office. And he did inherit a mess from his predecessor. But you just put that wallpaper on and keep fighting overseas. and just let, you know, the policy, the de facto policy is not in favor of the American worker or the American economy, really, or any sort of longevity on the part of this nation at this point. It's obvious bad. Okay? And luckily, it's not a majority. As I said before, they make themselves sound like a populist movement. They are not, through their full, the thrall of the corporate media. I mean, it's corporate-owned media. It's capital-owned media. Of course, it's going to do and say whatever. It's a tool. And I grouse about the press being privately owned, but at least it's, you know, we could, on the other hand, the sword cuts both ways. It's just a bunch of privately owned crap. You don't have to listen to it. It's not factual. It's not giving you valid information. And it's not a, not even a, it's a, not any sort of, it's not a lion's share. It's nothing. It's very few people. Follow the money, Tis said. We should have ended the, so those people need to go before they kill us all. And they will. If we don't stop them. If they're not removed civilly through due process. And if we can't shine a light on what they're doing with the foreign war machine and with the American economy and the preservation of our way of life and our civil liberties. And without civil liberties here, where are you going to find them anywhere else in the world? Nowhere. I mean, relatively nowhere, and if we're supposed to be a leader thereabouts. We should have ended the foreign wars long ago. Now we truly do not have a choice. Otherwise, what are we fighting for again? Just think about this in case anyone still is bone to pick. Foreign military policy has been so bad for so long. The United States is on the brink of losing World War II. How's that for a really cool dystopian video game, people? If losing a war that ended 30 years ago or 75 years ago or 1,000 years ago sounds like the stupidest thing you've ever heard, then we can agree. It is grand folly. We need to leap forward, not backward. And the choice is being offered to our civilization. I suspect it's going both ways. That's the compromise. Please choose wisely. What are we fighting for? More domestic unrest and instability at the expense of more global unrest and instability? You can't have one without the other. Back to what I was saying earlier about the ocean. The oceans, really, they're all one. And the poop floats over, you know, wherever you poop it. It floats back into your drinking water. More large-scale cat and mouse with other powerful military powers and their wise to exercise restraints that have Bush League swashbuckling to fight wars that have been over for many generations. I think at this point, the belligerent, it's obvious. You hear a little noise about what's going on in Southeast Asia. All right, okay. Don't know I'm not there. I mean, there's hearsay and does appear to be a problem. And, but I mean, it's like a mirror of what you see over here. Like something retarded happens in the news that the United States policy-wise has done blundered. And then you'll get one like, okay, well then China took back Hong Kong. That's the thing. It's like a mirror. It's like, okay, so that's what it looks like. What you're doing, that's what you're doing looks like on the national scale. Now, Hong Kong's right there within a sphere of influence. Just look down south at all. I mean, I don't know. I mean, does that comparison bear close scrutiny? I don't know. But I mean, it bears some. Except for that maybe what are we doing? We're on the Near East. Maybe that looks worse. I don't know. Maybe it looks better since it's far away. I don't know. What are we fighting for? You know? What? America's behavior along these lines sets the stage for other unnecessary action, like the confiscation of Hong Kong in light of United States foreign policy in Yemen, Iran, or Palestine. Why should China's local jewel theft come under scrutiny from us? Kind of pales in comparison because that seems local, right? It's horrible. Not cool, but hey, what are you going to say? Hong Kong's been a symbol of international collaboration and post-war, post-nuclear civility. But those are the stakes when losing. When neoconservative warmongers try to drag all of humanity back into one of the most horrifying conflagrations in human history. In fact, we're still in Afghanistan after nearly 20 years demonstrates that the American people either don't care or they're being ignored by D.C. And the military command knows it's kind of done over there. Let's go. I mean, have been done. Just sort of things. I mean, even back in the 41st administration, United States presidential administration, like, those were more tactical, just air, like, not just this vulgar display of surplus, livery for 20 years. Not that those were good, as it were, like, but this has just been like bloody hell. That's the problem with the preponderant influence of holy warriors, in this case the neoconservative Christian religious right faction of special interest, on U.S. policy, and they have a death lock on the thing. They need to be reminded, do they? It is not Christ-like to wage wars of aggression and occupation, and generally wars in general. Do they not see in their holy text the role they're actually playing? They're not what they say they are. They're not what they say they are. They're not what they say they are. It's not what it says it is. So, for argument's sake, their so-called religion, like any other belligerent dogma that subordinates one group for another, breeds war, seeds hatred and destruction to new generation, cynically so, at your expense of your life and your children's lives and your peace of mind and your, you know, and all things beautiful, flagrantly in the name of peace, and then say they're doing it in the name of peace. That is so damning. It is in my book, this is in my book, that is the darkest crime. I and the Italian, you know, Dante, have conversation. I have to go back and look where he put those guys who kill in the name of, as it were. But for me, that's about it. That I can't. I'm serious, and I've worked as a, you know, an ambulance chaser, and I've seen bodies, and I've seen blood, and I've, you know, and even still, I know there's murder and rape, and those are horrible. Those are things that are handled, you know, by local jurisdictions. Those are state codified felonies. But this sort of karmic transgression, that's the thing that gets me. This, I'm going to kill all these people in the name of peace and in the name of prophets and enlightened people and love. I when I'm lied to like that, and I think people, they come to believe that. Whatever. I want you all to know, I'll serve you process right now. That does not go on here. Those are my terms. Come on in if you're with me. This is a free country, and it should be a free world, but now the United States can be compared with other brutal meddling empires because of its, I don't know, being spirited away by these special interests, and can be compared to the types of repressive theocracies it sets out to destroy or protect, as the case may be, because of its war policies and the usurpers who prosecute them. The Bill of Rights has already been shorn asunder. De facto martial law prevails in the United States. Religious wing nuts are making their end runs all over the world, rushing towards their foolish, stupid apocalypse. What are we fighting for overseas exactly? How does total war on another continent help improve the rapidly declining quality of life in America? And whatever, however many oil wells have been burning for 20 years now, smell it. Yes, World War II is over, or should be. Thank you, Mr. President, for backing the military out of Germany, which infuriates the war lobby 30 years after the Berlin Wall came down and 75 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Meanwhile, this situation of full military occupation in the Mideast for 20 years at this point makes the Cold War days of CIA surgical proxy wars, are okay. They were pretty bad, but they were bad. But in comparison, looks, as I said earlier, slightly better to 2 decades of just a bloody display for show. You know, more self-aware, you know, like more aware of like real politic, that, you know, and you're saying like those days looked better, the Cold War days. I mean of course it was Vietnam, but it's a very ugly thing to realize that it is, you know, worse now. William Casey and the Reagan administration and all those CIA wars is a book by, what's his name? I forget. Well, you know, Woodward and Bernstein. Not both of them, but one of them is the Cold, not the Reagan administration, the Cold War, Cold War wars of the CIA during Reagan. The Middle East is a boondoggle, just as was Vietnam. And over the past 2 decades, it has run its course at the taxpayers' risk and expense, It might end now in our way of life and just hemorrhaging it. This is what it would be like. So if you want to Jade's trick, if you just want to trot into the very end, this is what it would be like on the way. Set your watch. I don't know. Start the timer. See how long will we go. Place bets there. I bet you Vegas has an opinion. But this is the cadence. This is what it would feel like. This is how the policy would be. This is what we'd be doing if we were to directly just go until they couldn't go anymore. Just exactly what's going on right now. It might start to get a little better, for example, if we'd withdraw from Afghanistan, maybe, but keep it up and we continue to borrow unknown trouble. Our economy is treated as nearly ruined and unrecognizable with respect to how it should or could have or would have been. And our schools have been closed for a half year and counting. Industry is long gone. That is how much international capitalists care about preserving the quality of life in the United States. Rollbacks of progressive policy are occurring domestically and all over the world in a wave of nationalistic regimes which have sprouted as the beacon of the West has dimmed its hopeful inspiration and stopped setting the right example. So goes American positive influence. What a disappointment. It's worse than a disappointment. The United States Congress is failing its own people and thereby failing everyone in the world, yet and failing freedom. Yet amid this fever dream of insane, foolhardy apocalypse, we might still count ourselves lucky that an even more horrific conflagration has not yet occurred. It can always get worse, so I keep saying. So cautious approach at all times is imperative. That's fine. And then you can use it if you need it. Therefore, come home, America, and put out the fires and put the morons out of Washington, D.C., the special interests, the proxy murderers, and the usurpers, and the people who have stolen my country. It's the best opportunity we've doing so. Take back the press, take back the legislatures, and remember when you do, your allegiance is to the citizenry, the right citizenry, the lawful, peaceable civility, and to the Constitution. Government by the people, for the people, all of them, even wards of the state, have civil rights, not by mobs, factions, and special interests. Send the children back to school. Let them be free of foolish wars and free of a dark future. Most of all, learn again to get along with one another. Good leadership is part of being a good citizen among humanity throughout the world, at home in the United States, not stupidity and neglect and murder and ignorance of the past and brash willingness to take everyone with you to some bad end. Get the hands of these murdering usurpers off of the political controls in Washington, D.C. now! And prosecute. We're all on a long, strange journey together. Y'all countrymen and foreign friends, if we are to survive, must be our friends, family, and allies. They are, genetically. We're all running on the same software. We are brothers and sisters, regardless of color or religion. Otherwise, humanity will reap what it sows, and you're among them. And on the way down at this pace, you'd be governed, if that's the word you prefer, very harshly by conquerors who played their hands more cautiously while learning all of their dirty tricks from your own playbook, which they stole from you, or will have, just like your schools have been stolen, and your Congress, and your currency, and your economy, and your way of life, and ultimately your freedom and your future. Everyone must reflect upon their responsibilities as individual citizens of your various organizational memberships, United States citizen, world citizen, you know, as you like it, footballer, you know, keepers of the peace, citizens of the world, be careful to do the right thing. My general recommendation to Americans, speak up before it's criminalized. Now, vote third party. Don't burn buildings. That's not helping. You're giving people who already have made vast, basically illegal power grabs, a reason to do so furthermore. Do not put your support behind mainstream politicians. Hold them accountable, or that's you. The moment you think you've got an incomp in office, just demonstrate your own policy and apply it to the best of your ability. That's how you can be ambitious. Not to, we can take over where this ethnic group is totally in charge. That doesn't work. It doesn't. There's the yin and it comes around. You can't keep fighting. That's the mistake that these people are making, these proxy killers that have this minority has a death grip on American governance. That's why they're going to be able to, that's why we can beat them. You know, that's not the way to beat them. You move them. Due process. You don't fight like violent. You don't just do the crime that they're doing, because then you go with them when there's a purging. Free advice. Okay? I guess. You can tip me. They're why we get into decades-long wars, ensuing economic problems and civil unrest at home. These people you shouldn't support just because they pretend to be a populist movement in a corporate-run media. A monopoly. Thanks. You know, previous presidents, I guess that would be 42, further deregulated the monopoly laws on media. Good going. Yeah, it enabled this more so than many other. It was a huge part of the recipe to the situation we're in now. 42nd United States presidential administration. Not naming names. Also, people's fear of being offended places them at odds. This is just the tagline. P.S. People's fear of being offended, or expectation that they have a right not to be, places them at odds with reality. No one has any civil right not to be offended. The facts, the truth, that has to come in. And punishing people for saying facts or truth or having incorrect opinions, that's not how we do it. That's not the way, as I mentioned earlier, and I gave the metaphor for people who are in recovery. Putting your head in the dirt does not make the problem go away. It does not fix things. It's part of the problem. Don't embarrass yourselves, America, with an anti-intellectual disposition. You will be beaten silly by older cultures who know better and don't like whiners. I mean, how is you going to learn? I mean, yeah, you can want to wish away things, and that works. That kind of magic works to an extent in certain situations, and as much as you can get it to, sure. But also you have to deal with the situation as it exists. And people, free speech is gone. No one has any civil right not to be offended. That said, it is wise to treat people in a way that you would wish to be treated nevertheless. Thanks for listening.